Welcome back to the Life in the City podcast from Antioch Community Church. I am recording today not from Antioch. We are actually up in the glorious central Minnesota area known as Camp Chaminade. Twice a year, the district that we're a part of, the EFCA North Central District, does some conferences. And so one in the spring, usually down in the cities, and all of our rural friends have to travel. But then the one in the fall has like teaching, and it's during the week instead of a weekend, so that most of the time the pastors can get away. And so today and tomorrow, a bunch of us are up at Camp Chaminade learning about the life of Martin Luther, which is kind of fun. And I wanted to take this chance to snag a couple old friends. So we're going to have just a conversation, and I hope, or I think for a lot of listeners, this is going to be a lot of new information and maybe some new names and things. But yeah, some familiar stuff too, I think. You'll see the mission carries on. So let me start. We've got Andrew Peterson and Mark and Jen Johnson. Andrew, why don't we start with you? Who are you and what do you do right now? We'll start with current roles and ministry responsibilities.
Yeah, thanks, Coley. As Coley said, my name is Andrew Peterson. I am currently the lead pastor of Park Community Church in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. We are about 7 miles from you guys, so just to the west. And I pastor a church there. We planted a church 10 years ago out of Antioch, and then that church merged with St. Louis Park Evangelical Free Church 8 years ago. And so currently we're called Park Community Church, and that's where we're at. And I'm sure I will get to share more about that story with you later on.
Yeah, that's funny. You said 7 miles, and I was like, no, it's got to be farther than that. But it's 7 metro miles.
Yes,
It's like mm-hmm. 18 communities between
faster
us.
Faster to bike to me than it is to drive.
It totally is, especially, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I almost couldn't get home the other day because of construction, and I was at Target. I was like, I'm going to lose my mind.
But you were at Target?
I was at Target. The Target.
Oh, nice. I've heard of it.
Yeah, you know, the one in the cities.
Crazy.
Whereas Mark and Jen, 7 miles is kind of nothing for your communities.
Yeah. No Targets.
Yeah, where are you guys at now, and what are your roles?
So I'm Mark Johnson. My wife, Jen, is here with us, and we were at Park Community. But then we're coming up on 2.5 years ago now. We were sent out by Park, and I'm now a solo pastor in Bagley, Minnesota.
Where is Bagley?
Yeah, if you know where Bemidji is, which not many people know where that is either.
Paul Bunyan lives there, right?
Yep, Paul Bunyan is there. We're about a half hour west of Bemidji. So we don't have to deal at all with traffic. So our county has only one stoplight. The entire county has one stoplight.
Unreal.
So we don't have to deal with any traffic anymore. So, we have to drive, 25 miles to Bemidji to get to our the Target in Bemidji. So.
That's awesome. Yep. So I know this sounds like kind of just a random assemblage of people that I know to get on this podcast, but we're going to make the Antioch connection. So Andrew, you planted out of Antioch. Talk about that process a little bit. Like how did we find you or did you find us or?
The Lord wove us together.
Yes, you're right. I'm sorry.
So for all of you Antiochers listening, myself and Mark and Jen, we planted a church together actually out of Antioch years ago. And so we worshiped there together back in the Ukrainian Event Center before you guys were in the Waterbury building. And so, all three of us were worshiping together there for a while, and we were part of a core team. I was a youth pastor at a church in the West Metro for 7 years, and kind of in that process, Andy O'Rourke, your former pastor and founding pastor, was trying to recruit church planters, and I was one of those guys that I was working as a youth pastor and also working at Caribou Coffee part-time to just get to know non-believers and hang out with people outside of the church world and bubble. And Andy and some others were like, that seems kind of like a church planter because you you love the church, but you also want to hang around with people who don't attend the church. And I was like, sure, I don't know if that's a church planter or not, but that is what I'm doing. And so Andy started trying to recruit me into church planting as well as Dan Moose, who you guys know well.
Yes.
And just kind of putting that bug in my ear, and I wasn't quite sure. I had a growing love for the church as I saw it biblically, but also some frustrations with the church as I saw it culturally and how it engaged my community. And so I was trying to wrestle through that. And yeah, Dan Moose and Andy and some others were just helpful in kind of helping me think through that. And they were kind of a safe place for me to process with and kind of grow and learn scripture and theology. I mean, I was a youth pastor, right? So like, you don't have to know. Well, you should know the Bible well. But if you know how to do games and have fun and enough Bible, you can pass as a youth pastor. And at some point I started realizing like I should care more about the Bible and theology. And so Andy and Dan Moose and other people in the EFCA, the North Central District, kind of helped mentor me into deeper love for the scriptures and theology. And I started doing a master's program as well to kind of grow in that. And in that process, yeah, Andy just was like, hey, we would love to plant churches. And somewhere along the line, God put, you know, the bug in my, that's not a thing. The bug in my what?
Bug in your ear?
The bug in my ear? Is that a thing? People say that?
Okay. That's a phrase.
I don't know if the Holy Spirit does it, but like,
I don't, I don't know where that bug came from, but it landed in my ear. And in the process of swatting it, we ended up planting a church.
I love it. So you guys started joining Antioch, like you started attending Antioch and said, hey, this is our church planter. And we didn't know a lot at that point. Mm-hmm. So, and I've lost, my memory is not as good as it used to be. What was the gap there for you between like, okay, I know I want to plant and then we know it's going to be St. Louis Park. Here's the name. Here's the core team. Here's the launch team. You know, like.
Yep. Yeah. Let me give you.
What did that process look like?
I'll give you the quick version.
Sure.
So I wasn't quite sure that I wanted to plant a church. I was trying to figure out, you know, I love the church and I felt a growing call towards pastoring and preaching. But also we had our first kid and I thought church planting, there's no money and no people. And also I know that Antioch doesn't have a lot of money and doesn't have a lot of people. So specifically, I mean, Antioch was 5 years old as a church plant at that point. And so I know that Antioch wanted to be very open handed and like, we want to send money and people, but I was like, you don't really have money or people to send. So let me see if I can find a church with more money and more people. And we actually tried. So my wife and I, we went to a couple of different churches. I interviewed to be a pastor of a couple of different churches. We looked at a few church planting residencies and we were actually out of state at a different church, about a church of like 1,000 people. And they had this great church planting residency where they were like, you can take tithing families. We will pay your salary for a year, all benefits. And we were driving around that city doing a vision trip. And I asked my wife what she was thinking. And she kind of wanted to leave the Minneapolis metro. She's not from here. And she started tearing up and she said, I feel like God's calling us to Minneapolis.
Wow.
And I was like, yep, I do too. But it was good to hear that from her first, because I'm from the Twin City area and I love this area, but wanted to be open to what God had for us and open to her not wanting to live. Well, I didn't want to force her to live in the Twin Cities because that's where I wanted to live. So at that point, it was very clear, like, we feel called to the Twin Cities Metro, and Antioch is our connection. Mm-hmm. I mean, we, even though they don't have a ton of money and people to give, like, we know the heart of Antioch, we know the people of Antioch, there's an open door there, and they want to do a church planting residency and see the gospel multiplied in the Twin Cities. And so I guess we can trust God for the money and the people rather than find a church that has money and people. So that was kind of the journey. That was 2012, I think, like spring of 2012. And then kind of the end of the summer of 2012, we started attending Antioch as a church planting resident. And mostly that just meant we came on Sundays and hung out. We ended up moving to St. Louis Park because we found an apartment that had, they offered us free rent in order to be the building manager.
Nice.
And so we didn't plan on planting in St. Louis Park, but instantly upon moving to St. Louis Park, we saw a lot of older dying churches and some churches that weren't faithful to the scriptures and no biblically faithful churches that were also engaging the younger people that were filling St. Louis Park.
Right.
So we pretty quickly had a burden for that city and we're like, this city needs churches that are reaching the next generations and being faithful to the scriptures. And then God started bringing people around us really quickly. Like within a couple weeks of moving to St. Louis Park, my wife was working with somebody who said, hey, my son Mark just moved to St. Louis Park. Him and his wife Jen haven't found a church yet. You should connect with them. Mark was managing a Caribou coffee shop. I was working at Caribou. I had this weird little flyer printed off, and I walked into Mark's Caribou. It was like an invitation to Antioch to join a church plant. I handed it to Mark. He was like, sweet, we'll see you guys on Sunday. I was like, hey, Mark, I'm Andrew. Yeah, I'm Mark. Cool. Sweet. See you
on
Sunday.
My mom told me you were coming.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, that was actually our connection with Mark and Jen.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so we both went to Crown College, but I never knew you. I knew of you. But I didn't know you.
Mm-hmm. Everyone knows of Andrew.
Yeah. And we were just kind of in the right phase of life because we were both working in St. Louis Park. So we had both just moved there. And we had left the church that we were at because we moved to St. Louis Park. And the church was out in the where I grew up, kind of out west of the cities. And so we had just moved there. We were both working. And I was managing at Caribou, which is very time consuming. Mm-hmm. So we didn't really find a church to plug in, and we were just kind of getting tired of not being involved in a church. And nothing against working at coffee shops, but it gets old after a while. Like, it's fun, but it gets old. So yeah, it's kind of just true. Like, this is dragging me down. So, and it was like one of those crisis of life moments. I was sitting in the back office at Caribou, and that was the morning that Andrew walked in with his little postcard.
So, that's awesome.
And yeah, immediately I was like, yep, we'll be a part of it. Yeah, we'll do it. I didn't even ask Jen if we could.
Okay, we're doing this.
Yep. Yeah. A slightly different approach than what you took with Brittany.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Mark and Jen's marriage is a little different than ours.
Both healthy, both God glorifying.
Yeah, we didn't have kids either at the time. So that's a little bit, we were kind of a little bit more free to do whatever we wanted.
And
so.
And to be fair, you were invited to attend a church.
Yeah.
It wasn't like,
yeah.
Wasn't quite equivalent.
Yeah. Like, hey, you're moving to a different city with me and you have no say.
Yep.
Did it go differently moving up to Bagley? I would imagine.
It was a lot longer of a process. Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was much more conversational, both of us.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I want to get to that because it's so interesting that like you were not pursuing, I mean, you went to Crown, but like you weren't a pastor when you were,
no,
you weren't like the associate pastor who then said, oh, I want to go be a lead or something.
Yeah. Not quite yet.
Yeah.
Right, cause when we planted the church, like my hope was always to be in vocational ministry, but it never seemed to fit or work out in what we were doing.
Sure.
And then, so we joined the core team. And the church plant got up and running. And we just loved it so much that we were like, okay, well, let's just find jobs so that we can keep being a part of this.
Mm.
So we were just working through that whole church plant process. So.
Yeah. So then you actually planted under your own name. You're like, you're part community now, but that's because you merged.
Yep.
So I know you've made the joke before, like when church planters ask you, what's one thing you recommend for a new church? It's to be given a free building. It's paid off. It's just really helpful for new churches.
Yeah. It's not a silver bullet.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It comes with its own asbestos.
And mold.
And mold.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the downsides of not having a mortgage. But so you guys merged. So I'm getting in the weeds here a little bit. I want to go back to the Antioch connection because okay, you knew you were called to plant a church, and it sounds like you were looking for like security and stability. And even though you didn't find it exactly the way you wanted it, you still said okay. But so, I mean, why come through Antioch? Why did you decide to join up with Antioch at all? If I mean, you were already a pastor, you were getting your master's, you probably could have just figured it out. You know, just say, man, there needs to be a church here. I'm going to start meeting in the lobby of the apartment building and gather some people.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I had a great connection with Antioch and just felt support. I didn't want to be out on my own and felt like it'd be good to have support from another church. And I wanted to join other churches that cared about the city and cared about the gospel and could also help me not be dumb. Pastors can sometimes do dumb things, and I thought some accountability and connection would help stave off some of my dumb things. Yeah, and I think the mission of Antioch at the time, I don't know your guys' current values, mission,
yeah,
whatever.
It's all the same. Igniting a movement of the gospel throughout the Twin Cities and beyond.
That's exactly the phrase I was going to say. I was like, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of igniting a movement of the gospel in the Twin Cities. And I feel called to the Twin Cities, and I care about the gospel, and I want to be a part of a movement that's bringing the gospel to the city. And so being a part of a church, and it was really good for me, too, to join a church plant. Antioch was 5 years old when we joined, to be a part of a younger church that was still doing setup, tear down. You were at the Ukrainian Event Center.
Yep.
And I had only been a part of established churches up till that point. So it was a great chance for me to learn and grow. Mm-hmm. For me to observe a church plant in action.
To see kind of a different level of children's ministry from maybe your established larger churches.
Yeah. Like you had to. Yeah. What did we do with like the hallway?
We had too many kids and we had them in the hallway.
Uh-huh. Yep.
We had a nursery and then we had a kids' church in the hallway.
Yep. That's right.
I remember worship practice in the closet. I don't know if it was an office or
we did
it
rent an office
storage closet or something.
Yeah, and so if we would do like an unplugged practice during the week. We don't even practice during the week now. We just do it Sunday morning. It works out. That's cool. And I think it's so easy for, and this isn't just pastors, I think this is anybody in leadership or with leadership gifts, like to just want to do it my way because like I have a vision and I have the skills, so like can I just go now? You know, but to have like the Andy and Dan Moose and the other people that you could just dream with and be supported by, how did it, you said it was cool to like be a part of a church, how would you describe like the nature of Antioch at the time, and like how did just the congregation like minister to you and Brittany? At that point.
Yeah, I think just providing a space for us to be in relationship and connection and to worship on Sundays. I mean, you ask, why not just go? I had my ideas of how to pastor and lead a church, and I appreciate Andy's mentorship and connection, and I don't know that I probably pastor differently than Andy did. But I think being in relationship with other people, Andy as a lead pastor and church planter, and me as an aspiring lead pastor and church planter, that was really good to have a place where, it was just a safe place to come and worship on Sunday mornings as we were building out our own worship service. I just felt a ton of support. And, I said sort of jokingly earlier on, but not totally, like Antioch didn't have people or money. Like compared to other churches, Antioch had very little people and very little money, but Antioch was so generous with us. Like, I think we got thousands of dollars from Antioch over the process. And like, that's a huge sacrifice from a small congregation where, maybe we would have gotten a couple more $1,000 from a larger congregation, but it's not as sacrificial and as relationally invested and connected.
Right.
So I think the relationship with Antioch and seeing the sacrificial giving rather than like the, well, we can afford it type of giving was really good for us. It was a sweet season.
Yeah, that's really cool. Because I know you guys left with 25 people in your launch team, more than that, maybe.
Yeah, we had about 25.
Because what I remember is it was about 20% of our congregation. So what you guys didn't have the pleasure of experiencing was the next Sunday after we sent you out. It was like all of our eardrums had burst after a shockwave. Everybody go? Because for 6-8 months or whatever it was, like you guys were a church growing within the Church of Antioch. And so sending you out for us was, it was so, that send-off Sunday was so fun. And it was just like gospel goodbyes and glorious and just like, oh my gosh, we're so excited for you to go worship in Jewish Community Center you guys moved to?
We were at Park Evangelical Free Church in Sunday evenings for the first.
That's right. You were Sunday evenings at first.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you moved to a dance studio or something and did the whole setup and teardown.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so as the senders, I mean, it was, and again, most of our listeners won't remember this, but it was weird. Yeah. I mean, it's like the closest thing I can understand to maybe being like an empty nest parent who's like last child moves to college. And yeah. Like, it's so quiet. Like, the nursery, like, we don't have to turn kids away today.
We have space for more kids.
You know, yeah. But I mean, it was it was an adjustment. But it's been so cool to see how the Lord has sustained, just for starters, like both of our churches.
Mm-hmm.
And that even though the irony of like most of the people at Antioch don't even know you personally, you are a face on our wall. You're on our gospel partners wall still, you know, but to not have been there for it, but to then see like all the cool things that the Lord has done through Antioch. And then not to mention all the cool things that have happened mm-hmm. through Park Community with revitalizing the free church that was there and the building and you guys getting it, all that.
Yeah. It's been an awesome journey. Thank you, Antioch.
So
you
cool.
are amazing.
That's I mean really that. What I wanted to get I mean, to.
Yeah, that's what you told me to say, right?
Yeah, okay.
That's on the notes.
Perfect. Yes.
Yep, we're getting there. Okay. Did we do it right?
No, I jumped the gun on that. Sorry.
Yeah, your check's in the mail. Okay, so meanwhile, you guys were a part of the launch team. Mark and Jen, you guys said, yeah, we're in. We'll live in St. Louis Park. Let's do it.
Yeah, because we'd already moved there. So we moved there maybe just months before I think you connected with us. Because I think it was really spring of that summer.
Yeah.
Which would have been, 2012, which, something like that.
By the way, it's such a cool testament to like the Lord is like laying groundwork for things that we're working on. And, or like he got you there first. He's it's like such a good reminder.
Yeah.
But so how long were you a part of the Park Community leadership stuff, or in what roles did you have before you started to say, I want to look for a pastor?
So we were on the core team, and then we planted, which that whole process was 6 months, 8 months, something like that. I don't think it was quite a year.
Yeah, I can't remember.
And then we started doing the evening
services.
Something
like that.
Yeah. And then, so we were just, eventually we had the elder team for City Vision. So we were...
Which was the original name before
you
merged?
Yep. City Vision was the name of the church plant.
Yep. So, we were just on the leadership team for City Vision. And again, the whole time we were just thinking, let's just get jobs so that we can be a part of this church plant. Because that's like what we really want to do. So let's find jobs so that we can do it.
Totally.
So, I think, at the one we planted, I stepped down, I think, to like assistant manager or even maybe just shift supervisor at a coffee shop so that I didn't have to work weekends.
Yeah.
Because that was a huge thing. Like, I was working probably every other weekend as a manager.
Right.
So, and I was like, well, we can't do that anymore if we're going to be planting a church. So, and then you had a job. I don't remember where you were working at the time, but you were making a lot more money than me.
you were
sustaining us.
I'm not sure two shift supervisors could have afforded an apartment in St. Louis Park.
Yep.
So.
No.
And then, we were just on the leadership team leading up into the merge with Park Free.
Yep.
So, and then that changed into me being on the elder team at Park Community when that merge happened. But then through that, this whole time, because we'd both gone to Bible college, wanted to be in vocational ministry, and I had, I think at this point I was doing plumbing, and I got to the point where I was like, okay, am I gonna dive into this ministry thing, or should I just do plumbing? Because I was thinking through, okay, do I join the union, do plumbing school and stuff like that, because I enjoyed that.
Right.
But I was like, no, I think I'm going to go back and get my master's. So I did online school to get master's in, what did I get my master's in? Ministry leadership.
Clearly, you mastered it.
Yeah.
I am a master of the thing that I studied.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So
really
so
selling yourself here, Mark.
Yes. So through that we had our first kid, and we were living in Robbinsdale at the time and just working. But as we were coming to the end of my master's degree, I was kind of like, okay, once I graduate and I'm done, we're going to go look. Well, I'm going to put my name out there and see if we get called to a church. And right around that time, Park Community was getting to the point where you decided to bring me on part-time.
Yep.
As
Yeah, we
had some... there were transitions and stuff. Yeah. I'm not sure what was going on behind the scenes at that point to bring me on, but you brought me on.
None of us were.
Easy.
So yeah, you brought me on part time as kind of a operations admin director.
Yep.
So it was kind of in charge of the huge building that we inherited and doing admin stuff at Park.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. So then. You're living in Robbinsdale, ministering in St. Louis Park in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, man, I wish I could live in a cornfield.
Yes.
Like, talk about that transition.
Yeah. So what's interesting is, so it's almost exactly 2.5 years now, I think. Because it was October sometime. I think it was the middle of October. I remember we would have staff lunches or staff meetings, and we were out to lunch this one time, and Jen and I had been having lots of conversations, just kind of talking about, I think we could live in a small town. Boy, what would it be like being a pastor in a small town? Because we're in the middle of Robbinsdale, very close to Antioch,
mm-hmm.
and we were just down 36th. And so we'd been having a lot of conversations, and then eventually just kind of clicked where we're like, oh, wait, maybe God's actually, like, stirring something in us.
Maybe this isn't just, like, a fun thought experiment.
Yeah, yeah. Because at that point, too, like, we were 8 years in at this point?
Yep.
And I was like, and I have a position here, like, my plan is to retire at Park. We love it. We've gone through this whole journey with this thing. And so we had the staff lunch, and we'd always go around doing, you know, life updates. And I started right off the bat. I was like, okay, we got a bombshell. And I was like, I think I feel stirring for rural ministry. And I don't know what to do about it.
I don't know what to do. Like, it's a problem.
yep. So, and I remember you saying, like, oh yeah, I always thought you would end up in kind of rural ministry,
really,
type stuff.
Prophet Andrew. Yeah, yeah.
That's what, like, they call me. Okay. No, they don't call me that. I just had a hunch.
Yeah. but then that started a process very connected to the district. So I reached out to Dave Lindy and a couple other guys in the district, and was like, hey, here's what I'm feeling. What do I do?
Like, what, and they're like, have steps? We got a job for you?
So, and I talked to, you know, reached out to other churches, talked to a couple other rural pastors, just be like, so what is, like, what's it like? What can you tell me? What can you share with me? So, and then through that, we got connected with Bagley. And I remember filling out, it didn't even occur to me to look outside of the district, which is Minnesota for our denomination. So I went onto the pastor search software, and you fill out what you're looking for as a pastor. Mm-hmm. So I did a solo pastor, church under 100 people, Minnesota only. And there was like one church that filled the slot, and that was the church up in Bagley. So never heard of Bagley before. Had been to Bemidji once in my life.
Yeah.
So, this was the tail end of 2020 still. So everything was still chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And we, like, you still weren't sure how long is this COVID thing going to last? What's going on? Had no idea. So the process was kind of slow. So it wasn't until, I don't know, January, February, after that October, where we talked about it, that they finally reached out to me and the process started for us coming up there. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, and we, as things solidified, and this was important for me too, because I didn't want to just go as a pastor who found another job, so he's leaving. Because I was like, we're such a part of this church. Like, I want them to know what we're going through and how big of a thing this is for us to leave. So that was really cool because we did feel like we were sent out from Park.
Yeah. And even though it wasn't a church plant, it was a church needed a pastor.
Yeah. And they did. Park sent us out with supplemental money to help with my income up there to transition, because the church we went to, it's a small church. The town is about just under 1,500 people. The county has 8,500 people and 12,000 cows.
And so one stoplight, right?
And
12,000 cows, one stoplight.
Just so there's more cows than there are people.
How do the cows know to stop at the light?
Yes.
They're trained. We train them.
Oh, yep. Coley, I miss you.
Antioch,
you are so lucky. You paid. That's what you said to say too, right?
Yeah. Okay. That's okay. Point three. Good. Yeah. Okay. All right, fine. I'll send the other check. Okay. No, so what I think is cool is, like, you were just starting to say it, like, you went to a church with not a lot of people and not a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's like, we're full circle. Yeah,
exactly.
If you take anything away from this podcast, that's it.
You don't need a lot of people or a lot of money.
Impact.
By the way, I'm going to start calling this podcast Crosstalk. It's fine. I'm doing it too. Okay, yep. So you end up in Bagley, and now it's not the same kind of scenario where you're like, we're going to be a mega church, because you just physically can't. You might have more cows at church than people.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, but that's not, there's still lost people who need Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to hear from you guys as, like, what, for both of you, like, what are the celebrations that you've seen? So we'll start with you, Mark, since you're talking, like, You moved up there and basically met these people, met the community.
Yeah.
In the middle of the pandemic. What kind of, like, celebrations, gospel wins, like, what have been the blessings of ministry in Bagley in the last 2 years?
Yeah. So one amazing thing was how quickly we connected with the people there.
Hmm.
Like, it didn't even feel like there was a transition time. That was totally God thing, too. Like, it felt like we went up there knowing them.
That's so cool.
So, like, we really were just kind of invited in, and we were hanging out with the other young families as if we'd always been hanging out together.
Mm.
So, that was really encouraging. And I think what made it a easy transition,
because
we were going to a different universe culturally, from St. Louis Park in Robbinsdale to Bagley in Canada.
Totally. I know. Totally. So then, I mean, that's so cool that, like, you don't have to spend a decade building trust. It sounds like you had that pretty quickly. So how has that translated then into, like, the ministry aspect of it? What's the cultural climate for Christians and that kind of thing up there?
Yeah, it's so up there is the land of Lutherans.
Okay.
So everyone is Lutheran and they're not changing.
But they may or may not be Christians.
Yeah. So, which being Lutheran means you go on Christmas and Easter with your tithe check, and that's church. So it's very strange because you are trying to tell people who Jesus is when everyone thinks they know who Jesus is. Because everyone went to confirmation growing up, and they all go to church on Christmas. So the attitude is kind of like, well, what more do you want? Isn't that what
I was literally is? Confirmed.
Yep. So that's been interesting. And I'm still trying to figure out, like, okay, how do we do this? Because this isn't, you're not just telling people who've never heard of Jesus before or sinned before.
Right.
That, hey, Jesus has died for your sins. Everyone's like, well, yeah, I know. That's why I'm confirmed. I know. But it's like, yeah, but what are you doing about it? Like, how does that affect how you're living? Because it doesn't look like it is. Yeah. So it's a very different way of thinking through talking about it with people.
Mm-hmm.
So, because no one, there aren't any unbelievers, quote unquote, up there. Everyone's heard of Jesus.
Yep.
And everyone goes to church. Everyone has the church.
Right.
So, yeah.
I think it's such a, I mean, I just commend you guys as a family, but as a solo pastor and all the solo pastors that are in rural churches where you just, you know, like, I'm not going to be bigger than 200.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Yep. Like, that's not, yeah, that's not a failure.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a great reminder to me and to those of us in the cities who, you know, like, once you live in the cities, you think the world revolves around you. but there's a lot of ministry and there's a lot of lost people everywhere. And just because, you know, 7 miles for us means 150 churches are between our buildings, you know, 7 miles for you guys means there's 150,000 cows. Like, so you gotta go, you almost have to work harder to like find the lost people.
Yep.
But yeah, that's cool. I mean, that kind of leads into like, I was going to ask this, and I'll just ask these to both of these questions to you in a minute, Andrew, but Mark, like, how can Antioch be praying for you guys? I mean, you're practically, for, compared to culturally, you're practically missionaries.
Yeah.
From
no,
us.
Yeah, you know? Literally. Like, yeah.
How can Antioch be praying for you guys and the Free Church in Bagley?
Yeah. So I feel like we're at the point where we've gone through all the transitions. So the newness is over for the church. We've settled into, okay, here's what the new pastor's like. Here's what we are as a people. And so the transition type stuff is done. And so where we're at now is just, we really feel like we need just some new, a few new families, even two new families that are really excited about church and want to be involved in church. Just to get that push of kind of new blood, so to speak.
Yeah.
And new energy. Because like we're doing things, but everyone is doing something.
Uh-huh.
So to keep up that momentum, eventually we're going to just be like, okay, we need a break. We got to like pull back on what we're doing, things like that. So, and it's, again, it's such a different context from where you guys are at. Because I remember being at Park, and even at Antioch, you probably have this, it's very transient. People are coming and going.
Yes.
We, in our church, we've got two families that live on their century farm that's been in their family for over 100 years.
Wow.
So it's like they're not going to be going anywhere, but also no one's coming because no one's going anywhere. So like there's not new people moving into town looking for a church.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just such a different animal to think about for ministry.
Yeah. But what a cool, I mean, gosh, I mean, rural towns need revivals too.
Yeah.
You know, and I think back to like, I don't know if you guys had to read all the like E-Free books or did the history and polity class or whatever for your licensing. And, you know, some would say they're dull as a box of rocks, but I actually think like some of the stories of like just the preachers that would go around to every little tiny town and they would just get conversions after like so much response to the gospel because they were starving for it, you know, and I think some of these small churches just, when they lose a retiring pastor or something, I think Moose told me this sometime in the last few years, they just know they're not going to get another pastor.
Yeah.
Now that's very pessimistic. And I think we'll always try, but it's, they're like, we know who we are. We know where we are. Nobody's moving here.
Yep. Like,
it's
when we
I think Jesus cares
there
more than that.
Yeah. 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 When we went up there, one of the older ladies, she was crying when we came there. Because she said, we never thought we'd get a pastor under 60 years old to come.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's just what they assumed. Because they knew, like, we can't afford a young family to come up here. So, and part of that is the connection with Park. We were able to come up there because Park helped us financially. Yeah. So, and we still haven't used up those funds yet. It was supposed to last 2 years, and we still got about half of it left, and we're 2.5 years in, so.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Well, cool. Thank you for sharing. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Andrew, what are some of the gospel wins for Park Community in the last couple of years or recent, whatever you want to talk about? And then how can Antioch be praying for you and the church?
Yeah, I think gospel wins, they're hard to know in the moment because...
Oh, totally.
Right? I mean, we all know this as in our own soul, right? What is God doing? And... And am I going to stay true to God's work in my life or not? So, you know, I think we have had some conversions. We've had some baptisms. But even with a baptism, I want to celebrate it. And
totally.
But then also, like, Are we going to persevere and continue with the Lord and in community, whether that's this church or another church? I think in that some of the gospel wins, we're experiencing some transfer growth, as in like new people to St. Louis Park who are already Christians looking for a church. Mm-hmm. Some growth in the sense of like people kind of similar to what Mark said, you know, the land of Lutherans, Minneapolis in general, Twin Cities, even a lot of Lutheran and Catholic roots. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of people coming who have some background in church and the things of God from a more traditional church experience, Lutheran, Catholic, or evangelical, but more on the fundamentalist side. Mm. And so we have a lot of people coming that have a lot of wounds from religion and church. And I think they're starting to realize, maybe God doesn't hate me. Maybe he loves me. Maybe I don't need to hate myself for my sin. Maybe if God loves me, I can receive his love and grow in that. And so I think that's some of the gospel win that we're experiencing right now, is like people actually experiencing the gospel, the good news, the grace of God, where before they were experiencing a lot of law and legalism of God, and had walked away from the church for years because of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, as they've found, walking away from the church hasn't necessarily met the desires of their heart. They haven't found life outside of church. They didn't find life in the church because it was a church of legalism and law or judgment. So they walked away from the church. But in walking away from the church, they also didn't find life.
Right.
So they've been trying church again, if you will. And they're like, oh, maybe my prior experience of church wasn't a great depiction of who Jesus actually is.
Right.
Maybe Jesus actually loves me in the midst of my journey and struggle. And so I think that's a gospel win for us.
That's really cool. That's awesome. What are some, I mean, you could say challenges or just ways that we can be praying for Park right now?
Well, one more gospel win, and I'll tie it to a prayer. We actually, 3 weeks ago, we planted another church, Grafted Community Church. So Antioch, you're a grandparent.
I completely forgot.
You guys are grandparents, Antioch.
Oh, yay.
So yes, you planted City Vision Church, which became Park Community Church, and Park Community Church has now planted Grafted Community Church.
I totally forgot about Grafted.
Yeah, Sorry, Grafted. Me too. Sorry, Grafted. So congratulations to Antioch on becoming grandparents.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's another gospel win. Matt Fry is the pastor of that church. He, similar to Mark, was at our church for a while on staff as a church planning resident part-time.
Yeah, very early on.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He actually, Antioch, I think he preached.
He did.
For us.
He did a couple of months ago. Yes,
yeah,
he did.
It wasn't that long ago.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Mongrin.
So, yep, there you go. So yes, Matt Fry planted out of our church. And
he's a good guy. I know who he is.
Yeah. So that's another gospel win. Just seeing I mean, when 11 years ago, when we were doing our residency at Antioch, wanted to be igniting a movement of the gospel in the Twin Cities and beyond. Two church plants now came out of Antioch.
Yeah.
Park Community, Grafted, and then two church revitalizations, Bagley, Calvary Church up in Bagley, where Mark and Jen are, and then Elmwood Church in St. Anthony. We were part of that, too, with John Stromberg and Matt Fry. So, yeah, I mean, the faithfulness of Antioch to plant us out and to invest in us and send us with, you know, people and money, even when people and money was a huge sacrifice, it has borne fruit in our lives, in me personally, in my wife personally. I mean, we absolutely love Park Community Church and where we are in St. Louis Park, our community. And we wouldn't be there if there wasn't a church like Antioch saying, hey, you can take the two mites that we have, right? You think about the widow's offering. And so we're extremely grateful for Antioch's investment in us and sending of us. And it's fun to be a part of. Prayer, I think you mentioned earlier, you know, every church plant is dream, get a free paid off building. that is an asset. It also is an asset, like you said, with asbestos and mold and walls that are in places that walls shouldn't be. It's
they were built by volunteers.
Who put a wall here? If Joanna Gaines walked into our church, she would be taking walls out like crazy. So we are...
Get that stained glass back up.
Uh-huh, yep. Yes. So we're in the process right now of re-engaging a building campaign that we were going to do before COVID. We were going to vote on a building campaign the Sunday that COVID shut down public worship. And we haven't re-engaged it since then. And now we actually have a congregational meeting on Sunday where it's going to... I mean, it's a big... So our building was originally... The first structure was built in 1950.
Okay.
hasn't been touched since 1988. And so everything is out of date. We meet no codes, all of our everything. I mean, we're looking at millions of dollars to do anything.
Sorry, I didn't mean to stop your pause there, but like, isn't the issue like if you start to do things, then suddenly you're on like the radar of OSHA and ADA?
Yeah, if you do any structural change, right?
But it's like,
any structural change triggers all these code violations that we currently have. But we don't, as long as we don't do anything, we don't have to.
If you don't touch it, you're not in trouble,
right? But we're at a point where we need to touch it, even just for the integrity of the building, you know, structurally. So that's a prayer for us to just have wisdom. I would not want to put money into a building if I had options. I would rather send money to revitalizing a church in Bagley or planting a church or, hey, what's Antioch working on? We'd rather send money to Antioch and, you know.
We'll take it right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think we actually were able to help a little bit with, what's the minute?
The community engagement.
Yeah, the community engagement. We were able to help a little bit. And I would rather send all of our money to stuff like that.
Yeah.
But being building owners now, we have a responsibility to steward our building and to use it for the ministry that God's called us to. So just prayer for that we wouldn't get sidetracked on the purpose of our church is to help people meet Jesus.
Yeah.
And then become people who are all of a sudden concerned about a building.
Yep.
But at the same time, we need to care for our building.
Totally. And it is one of those it's a responsibility you now have. And, you know, as people who don't have a building, there's things you can do that we can't, or that people without buildings, churches without buildings can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that because that church has been there for nearly 100 years now, that it's a piece of the community.
Yeah.
And so to see it continue to grow and heal from its wounds physically, you know, like, the paint's not peeling anymore or whatever. The structure it's not falling over. That's a testament in itself to, I think, to the community, at least as a piece of like, we're here, we're staying. Yeah.
That's an interesting point that I haven't thought about yet. So thanks for helping me to verbally process what I'm realizing here, Holy. But, in a cultural moment where the evangelical church is very much antiquated and almost the enemies in some way, where 10 years ago that building was, on a Sunday morning, it was like, there's a few cars and old people walking in. Mm-hmm. It looked like a dying church in the midst of a dying religion that most people in our community would say, and it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden, they're like, where are all these people coming from? And why are the young people going to that church that I thought was supposed to die and go away?
Parking blocks away.
Yeah. So it is, you know, even that I think gives the neighbors, because our building is in a neighborhood. We're surrounded by homes. And so I think that gives a certain type of witness to like, well, something's happening there when societally we think the church is irrelevant. Seems to be relevant when people are showing up. So what's, you know. Yeah.
I remember when Antioch first planted and we, you know, like you said, we had nowhere near enough. We were not looking at buying buildings at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But there were tons of churches in Northeast that were going up on the market from all over the place.
Wow.
And, you know, even we would look at them just kind of pining, but we were like, oh my goodness, so many code violations or literally zero parking or it's the size of a shoebox. You know, it doesn't solve our problems to spend millions on this. But then when they would get sold, some of them are still like technically for sale probably, but like how many of them were turned into other things and like even turned into mosques. And it's like, oh, man, I wish we could have done something to help with, you know, and that's just partly just a testament to the changing nature of the community, but also like to see a church get turned into something else or just get demolished to be, you know, a store or something.
Yep.
I love hearing that there's churches that continue to be churches. And we see that with our friends at River City too. You know, they sold their building to another church.
Yep.
Said, we don't want this downtown church to become who knows what.
Yep.
You know, so.
Yeah.
No, that's really, really cool. Well, thank you guys. This has been so fun to chat with you.
Yeah.
I love it. And I said 30 minutes and I am a liar. but
just call it a deluxe episode.
Exactly. Ooh, it's a double feature. I know. Our goal was to always make it 30 minutes. I think I've made 3 that stick to 30 minutes ever. But yeah, thank you for sharing your stories. And I'm excited to see like what God has in store for all of us next.
Yeah. Thanks, Coley.
Yeah.